This is Carrie Campakis, and you are listening to the Girl Mom Podcast. Today on the show, I have Frances Lyon, who grew up in my community and is currently a senior at the University of Alabama. Frances recently finished serving as president of Kappa Delta Sorority, which my daughter pledged last summer, and I became intrigued with her story on a game day this past fall as my husband and I ate lunch with her parents at the sorority house. In middle school, Frances was terrified of public speaking. In fact, she'd almost pass out when she had to do a class presentation. Today, she tells her mom, "My 10th grade self would never believe that one day I'd be speaking in front of hundreds of girls as a sorority president." And to me, that's such a testament to the courage and growth that God wants to stir up inside all of us if our hearts are willing. What helped Frances step out of her comfort zone and learn to actually enjoy public speaking was being nudged into leadership roles by both her church youth leaders and big-time ministry. Since many moms who listen to this podcast have younger girls, it's helpful for them to hear the backstory of girls like Frances, because typically all they tend to see is the after picture on Instagram. It's very easy for a younger girl to look at someone like Frances now, a sorority president at a large SEC university who already has a job lined up after graduation in Nashville, and easily think, well, she was born with it and I was not. But as adults and parents, we know that that isn't true. Every expert in any field was once a beginner, and all it takes is the right people and the right environment to bring out someone's hidden potential. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen and share it with friends. Also, know that I am starting a new community on Substack where I will be sharing new articles, new downloads, and new content, as well as connecting my most loyal readers to each other. And I'd be honored for you to join me here as a free subscriber or a paid subscriber. You can find the link to my Substack community in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in, friends, and enjoy the show. Welcome, Frances, and I'm so thankful you've taken out time to do this during our holiday time. I just think this is such an important message, and it's really different than what we've had on the show, so thank you for your willingness to come.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored and excited to speak today.
Yes. Well, you know, one thing I see a lot in my work that I think a lot of children and teenagers are really struggling with is perfectionism. And I say this as a recovering perfectionist myself, that is so often what keeps us from being brave. And what keeps us from doing those things on a small level like you did in middle school, because we don't want to fail, or we don't want to look stupid, or we don't want somebody to hear our voice shaking. So did you ever struggle with that, those perfectionistic tendencies? And if so, how did you overcome those?
Absolutely. So I look back in middle school, and I mean, I really was terrified of any presentation I had to do in class. The teacher would announce the project, and in a couple weeks we'd have to present. I mean, every day I was thinking about it, just getting up there, and I was always very outgoing and definitely a people person, but for some reason getting up there in front of the class just really freaked me out. But I think just stepping out of your comfort zone and doing it brave and doing it scared, really, like, that is where, those are the areas that you are going to grow the most, even when it seems like the absolute end of the world. Those, having those friends and relationships around you that push you and encourage you and build you up, and just being there if you do fail, and that's okay. And I think, you know, those are the moments that you are going to grow the most in your faith, and those are when you're going to rely on the Lord. And I look back when my voice was shaky in those situations and presenting to the class, and that's where I grew the most and became closer to the Lord.
Yeah, you know, and I think about this too, that, okay, say you were born with that talent. Sometimes when we are born with an ability, it's very easy to get cocky about it. And you have confidence, but it's an arrogant confidence, because you just think, oh, this is me and my doing. But I think what's so beautiful, when you feel a void in your life, you know, when you are scared of something and then you work through it and you pray and you get to a point where you can do it, you're like, I know that is not me.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps you humble. It's more of a humble confidence, which is what you want to have, because, you know, that is only God's work inside of me. Because if you could see me, you know, have seen me in seventh grade, this is not how I was then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any Bible study or sermon I ever heard, the word anxiety or fear, mm-hmm. this was the number one thing that came to mind, was public speaking and just being the center of attention. I did not like that. And I think you know, working through those little moments of stepping out of my comfort zone. And then now I'm here today being not even, it doesn't even cross my mind that I'm scared to speak in front of all these people. And looking back, all those little moments of stepping out of my comfort zone and doing it brave has prepared me for big leadership roles in college and post-grad.
That's so awesome. Well, you know, and I think too that, you know, we live in a world where it is like go big or go home. And people often feel like, not, sometimes they might feel that a small opportunity is beneath them, or they want, like I said, they want to start some, do something big initially. And you don't want to, you would not want to in seventh grade have gone and stepped in front of the whole KD house and spoken to everybody, right? You weren't ready for it then. Uh-uh. Right. And that's just such a testament. And one Bible verse I love that I think goes with this is Zechariah 4:10 that says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." And so sometimes I have to remind myself of that, like, okay, I'm such a perfectionist that sometimes there's a part of me that if I can't do this new project or take on something, a new initiative, and if I can't be perfect and do it well right out the gates, then I don't want to do it. And so that's what holds us back. And I think that's what makes us dream small sometimes in life, instead of like, okay, well, this is what I want to do eventually, but what can I do on the small level to prepare for that? We talked about five ways that we can help girls today be brave and how we can empower moms to teach their girls to be brave. And then the first thing that we talked about is, you know, number one, that God has a plan for you, making sure that all these girls, all our daughters and sons know that. So let's talk about that. Like, did you, you know, how did you come to realize that God had a plan for you, especially when you were not succeeding in some of those things when you were younger?
Yes. So, you know, God has a plan for you. That is a phrase that if you grow up in the church, you hear that almost every week, almost daily. So, you know, I've always had heard that. And until those moments of disappointment and trying out for something that I didn't get, or really just thinking I was going to do this sport or this Spartan Council, whatever it was in middle school. And until those moments of disappointment, I really had to trust, okay, this was not meant for me. Mm-hmm. And the Lord really does have a purpose for me. And hey, he's closing this door, but you know, you hear that quote, he's closing this door, but he's opening a window. And there are little things like, okay, well, I got this. This is smaller. This is not what I had in mind, but okay, like, and it brought me this friendship, or it mm-hmm. taught me this, you know. And
so what's an example of something that maybe you wish you tried out for that you thought you wanted, but then it ended up you didn't get that and maybe another door opened?
Yeah, so I, coming into middle school, I tried out for the basketball team. I'd played my whole life, and I was a little short back then, so it did not work out. But, you know, that's okay. I decided to run cross country, and now those are some of my best friends today. Mm. And cross country taught me so much. I ran until my junior year. Unfortunately, I had hip surgery. It kind of took a toll on my body, but it was so much fun and brought me friendships that have lasted me a lifetime. And, you know, I think I had always envisioned myself playing basketball, but that was not the Lord's calling for me, and that's okay. So I think just looking back and having a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset, being mm-hmm. open to the Lord's plan for you, not, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this, and if that's not going to work out, well, I mean, what do I do now? Like, okay, like pivot and go this way. Like, and just kind of having an open mind of, okay, this was not meant for me. And through that taught me so much patience, humility, and just gaining so much wisdom on, you know, and taking those moments to look back and reflect, okay, you know, if I had done that, I probably wouldn't have met this person, or we wouldn't have been that close, or, you know, kind of just taking those moments to look back and reflect and not, you know, be frustrated with the Lord that he didn't give you something.
Yeah, you know, and I think this is where we come in as parents, because one of my favorite quotes, it's from the Boundaries books, but they say hope is rooted in memory.
Yes.
And then, you know, when you're frustrated or disappointed or upset, you know, one way we get through those times is we look back and we remember what God did for us. And so at my age, I mean, I have 50 years to look back on, so I can see tons of moments when God came through when I felt like the life was over. But, you know, when you're in middle school, you don't have a lot of life to look back on. And that's why it's so important how we as parents coach our children through those disappointments. Because if we're freaking out because plan A didn't work out, you know, and we act like the world is over, then they're really going to think it's bad because that's already where their mind is. They can't already see how God has been faithful in their life. And that's why they need our guidance. And obviously, there's so many stories in the Bible, you know, that we can look at that God carried them through these trials and challenges. But that's why I think it's so important for us as parents to share our stories. And even, you know, even knowing that, you know, when you we didn't go through something, like you're going to share that with your child one day. Like God's going to use all these moments. None of it's a waste. Yes. And that's what's so cool. The older you get, you can look back and say, oh, he was so faithful. That didn't work out, but this door opened. And your story, you know, sometimes you can help more people with the story when it didn't work out than you could have
Absolutely.
Helped if it had worked out.
Yes, and I'm so grateful for my parents. I mean, they really were the ones,
yes.
Hey, like, you didn't make basketball, that's okay. Like, you're going to do great in cross country. And
yes.
I mean, and I'm so grateful for their daily guidance and wisdom just to remind me, hey, this is not what the Lord has in store for you but be patient and it's going to come. And I mean, seriously, if you would have told me I'd be able to public speak to hundreds of people now, back then, I mean, I wouldn't have believed you.
So that's our next point is, you know, trying to, you know, as encouraging girls to be brave or encouraging them to do something scared. The next thing is to have the influence of good friends and good mentors. And you talked about your youth group. And so give a shout out to anybody you want to give a shout out to, but tell us a little bit about that. So was it in middle school that you did youth group at Brookwood Baptist Church?
Yes. So starting in seventh grade, I entered the youth group, and I have two older brothers and they were always involved in youth group. And I saw the great friendships they had, and I really wanted the same thing. And a big shout out to Caroline Causey. She graduated from Vestavia, and she really always encouraged me to be involved and attend church, come to all the fun activities, and really just always looked out for me. And also my youth pastors, my first one was Caleb Yoder, second one was Austin Keim, and then my last one was Larry McCutcheon, and he's the present youth pastor right now. And so, yeah, just, I mean, there were so many opportunities looking back that, you know, they would ask me to share my testimony.
So when you did that, were you scared to death?
Oh, my word, yes. So I'll tell you the first story. So the summer after eighth grade, I attended a mission trip to Columbus, South Carolina, and Caleb, the youth pastor at the time, asked Caroline and me to share our testimonies at an event that we had one night, and it was three churches coming together.
So this was a spur of the moment
invitation.
Yes.
Well, he asked me the day of, which honestly, looking back, was probably a great
idea. Right,
you
don't have time to stress too long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I looked at Caroline and I was like, okay, like, I guess we're doing this. She was like, let's do it. So we went to this room and spent probably 2 hours, you know, writing our testimonies and practicing in front of each other. And I mean, I was scared to death, but doing that with Caroline.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Really just helped me so much. Okay, I'm not alone. It's not just me up there. Like, she's going to go first and then I'm going to share. And also just, you know, he asked me to share my testimony. I'm like, well, do I even have a testimony?
Right.
Like, I mean, I've been so fortunate. Nothing tragic has happened, really. I mean, and so kind of looking back, I was like, well, what am I going to talk about? Well, I was able to talk about, you know, little things over the years that, okay, the Lord is faithful here and here. And I think I talked about camp and the youth group, my 2 years into the youth group and how great it had already been for me. Anyway, so I remember sharing my testimony that night and, you know, yes, I stuttered a little bit and probably seemed very nervous to the crowd, but I got through it. And I mean, after just everyone was so, so proud of me and just, I mean, ecstatic that I got up there in front of, I mean, at least 100 people probably, and did it and had the people around me to support me and give me that confidence. And I mean, I came home from that mission trip just so, like, a new person. I mean, I remember coming in through the doors of my house and I shared my testimony with my parents in the den. We sat down. And I remember they were so surprised. They were so proud of me and surprised that I had said yes. And I think, you know, if I had said no, I am a very like, okay, it came to me, like, I'm going to say yes and do it. But I mean, I easily could have said no. That fear just, oh my gosh, like, just that fear inside me, oh my word, just, I mean, really was just such a gut feeling of, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I cannot do that. Like, I'll pass out up there. But like I said, having Caroline just really being there for me was a game changer.
Yeah. So I think that goes back to, you know, the key is starting out, especially being brave in safe places. And so if any churches are listening or youth pastors, like, this is such a key message, like, get the youth involved and bring them into these roles to help them grow in a safe space. And if they mess up or stutter, it's okay. Like, it's like a family, like, that's the place to learn how to do it. But that's such a great, yeah. And I think too that, you know, we all want confident children, you know, like every mom wants confident daughters and sons, but the only way you can build confidence is by doing hard things.
Absolutely.
You cannot build real confidence unless you are doing what God is calling you to do. And that means stepping out of your comfort zone sometimes. And so somebody once told me, even like with writing or the work that I do, that, you know, ask yourself, if you don't want to do something, ask yourself, do you not want to do it because you're scared or because it feels wrong? And there's a difference. And so if it feels wrong, then don't do it.
Right.
That's probably the Holy Spirit telling you that. Mm-hmm. But if the reason you don't want to do it is because you're scared, but you feel like it'd be a good thing to do or God wants you to do it, but you're scared, then that's when you know you should probably push through it and pray for help.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but doing it in those safe spaces is so big. And so I love that that started with your youth group. And I mean, I would imagine that you were so much more confident on the other side after doing that.
Absolutely. I came home literally, like I said, a new person. My parents were so happy to see me just more confident. And, you know, I went into that school year like, okay, like, I think I can take on a class presentation.
So did it make a difference? When
yes.
You did, really?
Yeah.
So, and just having one successful speaking event under your belt.
Yes. And yeah. Kind of just, you know, I kind of went in with a different mindset. Okay. Like,
that's good.
Like, sharing my testimony is a mindset. Okay. I want people to hear my story and the word and how the Lord has worked through my life. And I kind of went in to future presentations like, okay, I got to convey this, you know, project, like, I gotta,
right,
whatever I was assigned, like, that is the message, like, kind of get the mindset of, okay, not all these eyes staring at me, like,
yes,
not, like, no one's paying that much attention, like,
right,
okay, like, what is the purpose here, like, I need to deliver this message. So I kind of just built a different skill through that.
Yes, that's so true. And my dad, I used to, public speaking was like my number one fear too. And that, now I'm like, it's funny that I even do events.
Because yeah.
Like, you become a writer so you don't have to speak in public. Like,
right.
You know, most writers, you feel like you think better on a computer than you do standing up in front of people. And so that was like never my intention to do speaking events. I just love to write. But it's funny because when you release a book, you all of a sudden start getting invited to speak. And so the invitations, you know, come. And I remember when they first started coming, talking to my dad, and I'm like, Dad, I'm not cut out for this. Like, I'm an introvert. I just, you know, I like to write. And he's like, well, an introvert can become an extrovert when they do something for God. And that helped
me. I love
me.
That.
I love that. And then, and it's true. And then he said, and if you're nervous when you're speaking, you're thinking too much about yourself.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And he's like, you're thinking too much about yourself. So think about the people you're trying to help. Think about those girls in the audience. What message do you want them to hear? And that was the game changer for me, because I could get so caught up, especially early on, like, oh, what am I going to wear? Does this dress look cute? Do my shoes look cute? And I'm like, I'm not a fashion guru. Like, they're not coming
right
to hear me to get my fashion advice. You know, like, they don't care about all these things. Like, they just want some words to encourage them and to help their daughters.
Absolutely. And a huge, huge phrase that I will always remember that my dad told me and continues to tell me is, imagine yourself successful. How do you want to feel when you sit down in that crowd after you've spoken?
Oh.
Do you want to feel like, wow, okay, they just heard the word. You know, it was purposeful and they heard what I wanted to convey. And just, that's a whole nother mindset too. Like, how do you want to feel when you sit down?
That's such a great dad advice.
I know,
you
right? He's the best.
Good dad advice. I love your dad too, by the way.
Yes.
But your mom also, you have great parents. Okay. So the third way we talked about being brave and doing it scared is to say yes and don't be afraid to fail. So let's talk about that. That's huge, especially for girls, because like I said, I think there are more perfectionists now than ever. And, you know, part of it, like I said, is I think we have Instagram and it just shows the successful moments of people's lives and the after picture.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, like I've got an eighth grader. And so, you know, I hear these sweet girls at that age talk, and they look up to the older girls so much. And so, you know, they in their mind, they're like, oh, wow, she's amazing. And so, you know, that to them, they don't know that you they used to be just like you.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you're scared to do something, they used to be scared to do it too, that they just didn't get there overnight. And so, like I said, I think that fear of failure can just hold us back in so many different ways.
Definitely.
So how did you get over that, the fear of failure and just putting yourself out there even when you were scared?
I think just knowing that I was surrounded by the most loving people, loving family, loving friends, loving youth group, loving camp friends. And, you know, like I said earlier, just having a God that loves me so much and putting my trust and faith in, okay, I know he has a plan for me. And so I think I was more inclined to say yes and not as afraid to fail, knowing that I had that support system and that God is not going to fail on you. God is not going to fail on you. He's so, so faithful, and he will provide for you. And he will provide to you in those moments of failure. But just have, again, like I said earlier, having that growth mindset and not a fixed mindset. Like, it's okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes. We are not perfect at all. We are human. But that is where, in those moments of failure, that's where you're going to grow the most. And just taking a leap of faith, and you're not going to know the outcome. You know, we can't predict what God's going to do for us. But, you know, just being open-minded and willing to get out there and do it afraid.
Yes, that's so true. So when we were growing up, my dad was really big on us putting ourselves out there. And he really wanted us to, you know, run for class officer, be in beauty walks, do plays, whatever it was. He wanted us to be on stage and get in front of people, not in an arrogant way, but because he was like, you're going to spend the rest of your life having to get up and do a presentation for class or your job. And so it's really important to learn these skills early. And I don't care if you win. And they meant it, you know. And it, you know, there were several times I ran for class officer and I didn't get it, but my parents didn't care. Like, they were just so happy that I ran, which is such a different mentality than I think a lot of our parenting culture has today. And then when I did beauty walks, you know, I always placed, but I didn't win. And so in my head, you know, girls, sometimes you feel like if you're not the winner, then you failed, which is not true. I think, like you're saying, it's the wrong mindset.
Right.
But even if I got first runner up, to me, I'm like, well, I didn't win. So you still feel like a failure a little bit. But I'll never forget my parents' faces when I would see them afterward. Like, I can still picture them now. Like, they were just beaming, so proud of me. And it looked like I had won. Did I win? Wait.
Did I hear that
right? Wait a minute. Did I hear that right? Because they sure are acting excited. But they knew, and this is what I know now when my kids do things, like, they knew that it was that experience that was going to help me. Even if I had won, that would not help me as much as the experience of actually getting up there in front of people and having to interview with judges and doing those things.
Definitely.
And I didn't really understand that at the time, but it was funny how God brings things full circle that, you know, fast forward years later, I have my first book coming out. All of a sudden, I'm having to speak. I'm having to go to spend a day with a publisher. We're filming a video. They're going to show it at their sales meeting. I mean, I was a nervous wreck. But anyway, I did it, and I was proud of myself. I'm like, wow, that was different than anything I've done. But it brought back all of those old memories of, like, growing up, all the times I had to get up in front of people. And I realized that it had prepared me for that. And so that same weekend was the Miss Olympian pageant at our high school. And so it's funny because we just had it this past week in our high school too. But my niece was in it that year. And I remember watching all the girls on the stage. And I'm thinking, I'm like, they don't realize, like, they're probably thinking like I was, that if I don't win, then I failed. But I'm like, now I know from what I just did today that it is their experience up there on that stage and being brave and doing a talent in front of 900 people, including their classmates, which takes so much courage.
So much.
You know, and it's true. Like, those girls go on to do, and the girls who work on the pageant staff, I mean, they're usually sorority presidents or SGA leaders. I mean, they go on to college and do some really impressive things. And you realize it's kind of like a stepping stone. You know, it doesn't matter if you win or where you place. It's that experience. But I think it's so hard to understand that when you're young.
Yeah, so going into my senior year, Big Time Ministries, they asked me to be an intern, which was very exciting, huge honor. I absolutely loved growing up in Big Time and attending the Bible study and retreats in middle school, and knew I wanted to be involved in it in high school. And so they asked me to be an intern, and I remember being, you know, kind of scared. I always looked at those girls when I was in middle school as perfect and, you know, just really good at public speaking and all those things that, you know, ministry leader would have. And so I was kind of nervous when they asked me to do it, but I said yes and was super excited. I had some good friends doing it with me. So on Friday mornings, I would help out with the ninth grade girls Bible study. And I think I probably wouldn't have said yes to that internship opportunity if it hadn't been for those little moments leading up to that, to my senior year. And, you know, just knowing that, okay, I am capable of this. I am capable of being a leader and helping out and public speaking. And, you know, my dad always told me growing up, you're a leader, like you're a leader, you're confident. And I guess I, you know, didn't really believe him at first until those little moments like, okay, like I do have potential and the Lord is building these leadership skills in me. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I was prepared for that internship and you know, and then that prepared me for college. And coming into college, I knew I wanted to be involved in my sorority and start out small. I was the Gracious Living chairman my freshman and sophomore year. And then I got council and was panel delegate, and then down the road became president. And I think just those little small steps of putting myself out there and, you know, failing at times, I'm sure, but, you know, learning from those mistakes and being open to continuing to grow and grow in your faith and having those people around you that are going to build you up.
And that brings us to our next point, which we think is key to being brave and doing it scared, is to have those intentional friendships, which is so true. Because if you have friends who are not going to support you when you fail, you know, or who are going to laugh at you or not going to support you as you go outside your comfort zone, you're going to play it small. And so talk a little bit about the type of friends that, I guess, that helped you, that you had, and you're so thankful looking back, that helped you be brave and do these things and supported you and would have loved you even if you hadn't succeeded, you know, no matter what you were doing. They love you either way, but you felt the courage, you know, because of the support they give you.
Yes. Yeah, so my high school friends, we became very, very close starting in 10th grade. And, you know, it kind of takes time to figure out like who your quality, you know, good people are, like, and that's okay. Like, you need to be patient in those intentional friendships. You know, there's seasons of life where your friends are going to change, and that's okay. But yeah, I think just looking back, having those high school friendships, just a solid group of nine girls. I mean, we were just attached at the hip in high school, and just I knew, like, if I fail, like, they were going to be there for me and me to them as well. And I think just quality time has always been so important to me, that quality time is my love language without a doubt. And I've always been very extroverted, but just prioritizing those friendships, those girl friendships, really are just so important. And you know, sports, school, having a boyfriend, like, really balance is the key. And all those things are fun and important too. But I think, but really those girl friendships are what got me through it all. And just, you know, prioritizing those. And we keep up to this day. We're hanging out tonight. So,
oh, that's so fun.
Yes.
I love it. So were your friends, you know, in fact, when you became president of KD or when you decided to maybe run for that position, was it your friends who encouraged you to do it or others? Did those friends play a role in that?
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, I think so. Going to Alabama, none of my close high school friends came. So that was a little, you know, people hear, oh, Alabama's 13th grade. Well, for me, like, I knew a lot of people and were friends with people going, but those weren't like my closest friends. So I was a little nervous going into Alabama. And then when I told my high school friends who weren't at Alabama that I was running, it was nothing but encouragement and love. And one of my close friends did transfer to Alabama. So she was there when I was running and, of course, was the best friend just right by my side cheering me on. And, you know, also, I mean, KD really did play a huge factor in building my confidence. And, you know, like I said earlier, starting out small, you know, making a small announcement at chapter and then to eventually standing on the stage and leading chapter, that played a huge role. And just having those people, older girls too, in KD that looked out for me and saw, leadership potential that I, you know, might have seen a little bit, but not truly didn't know I was capable of.
You made me think. I had Mary Frances Robertson on the podcast last spring.
Yes.
And she talked about how she loved being that encourager. Like, that was one of her favorite things, was encouraging those girls behind her. And something that she said that I loved, that was that, you know, she tried out her first year for Capstone Men and Women and didn't make it. And then she tried the next year and did make it. And so after that, she was very passionate about encouraging other girls behind her to try out for it. And so she's like, I would practice and train so many of these girls. And she's like, a few of them made it, but, you know, not everybody would make it. But I thought it was neat because she said, but all of them ended up doing something else. Like, one ended up becoming president of Panhellenic. Like,
yes.
They went on to some really
other... Who's one of my best friends.
Oh, really? Yes. Just, they went on to some other really neat positions. So again, it might have felt like a failure that they didn't make that one thing they tried out for. But even all that practicing they did with Mary Frances, you know, or being encouraged by the older girls, it's not a waste. And so that's such a testament, too, to be that person, you know, that not only we're encouraging our friends, but go encourage those girls behind you.
Yes.
And encourage them, like, I really could see you doing this. I think you'd be great at this.
I'm so glad you said that. So I was actually one of those girls who tried out for Capstone and did not make it.
Really?
But, you know, that next fall, I tried out for council in KD and got Panhellenic delegate and then was new member educator and president. And Mary Frances was the biggest encourager. And, you know, now looking back, I'm trying to do the same thing for those little girls coming into KD and mm-hmm. building their confidence and, you know, try out for stuff, like put your name out there. But if you don't get it, hey, it's not for you and that's all right. Or try out the next year if you really want to be a part of that, you know, which I admire Mary Frances trying out the next year.
Yes. I know, you know, and I think about like that, sororities get such a bad rap. And, you know, some of it, I know that not everything, we live in a broken world. So any organization, nothing's going to be perfect
right.
wherever you are. So you're always going to have certain issues with, you know, things like that, the Greek system or whatever. But there's so much good to sororities. And there's so many things like that happening, that these building up these women and building these leadership skills so that you can go out into the real world and thrive. And you're building these sisterhoods within the house. And as I watched that Bama Rush video last spring, I'm like, that's where they totally missed it. Like,
yeah.
They made it look like it's all so shallow and stupid and all about bid day. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you're totally missing the point of why people are even in a sorority and what's happening once they're in it. And I can't speak for every house, but I know what I've witnessed and what I know and what I'm seeing. And I'm like, you know, especially when a girl goes away from school, you're counting on people to mentor her, your daughter.
Right.
And you're counting on people. You're praying for people like that to come into her life, to play that role when the family's not there. You know, for God to continue to grow them in ways that they can't at home. Like, that's the whole purpose in leaving home, is because we've done what we can do for 18 years, and now it's time to give them to the world and pray for those other mentors and encouragers and people to come into their life and build them up and cultivate those leadership skills so they can do it scared and rise up into those positions. And so the last point we talked about as far as helping girls and boys and moms, whoever is listening, to be brave and to do it scared, is to remember that failure isn't fatal. You know, we live in a world that we treat failure like it is the end of the world, and it's not. It's part of our story, but not the end of our story. And I just don't think that today's kids can hear that enough, because, like I said, they look on Instagram and they just see the after picture. They don't see the messy middle.
Right.
They don't see the person in middle school shaking, you know, and almost passing out from having to give a presentation. But I read an article a few years ago for Rooted Ministry, and I pulled it up the other night, and I wrote this: failure isn't fatal, yet our world treats it as such. Our world expects perfection, and even in Christian schools, one common complaint that I hear is the pressure to act perfect that many students feel. Somehow, we become a superficial society, ashamed of any chink in our armor. Rather than see our chinks as a reminder of our humanity and our desperate need for a savior, we worry about what people will think. We cover up by trying harder, adding more armor, or falling into despair because our best is never enough. And so let's just on a final note, let's talk about that. That, you know, how did you overcome that mentality to not be scared of, like I said, of just the failure, you know, when it's all success is all around us and it doesn't seem like anybody else is failing?
Yeah, I think I overcame that through my first couple failures, when I stuttered and, you know, was embarrassed when I sat down, my face red or my voice shaky. But I think my friends coming up to me, oh my gosh, like, no, you did great. Like, oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, you did not seem nervous at all. Like, what?
Right.
I'm sorry. My knees were shaking. What do you mean I wasn't nervous at all? But, you know, kind of just realizing, okay, I'm just so in my head. Like, I'm my worst enemy. I really am. Like, I am, the self-doubt comes in, and, you know, I think just you gotta get rid of that and know that, okay, when you do fail, people are going to be there for you. Nothing, it's not the end of the world. And, you know, you just gotta have that growth mindset. And yeah, I think I really did learn that through the first mistakes or failures, that, okay, like, I'm still loved. The Lord still loves me. I'm still here. I'm in one piece. You know, I think just knowing that it's okay and I'm not perfect. And I do like how you hit on social media, and there is a lot of comparison today. And, you know, I think just knowing that, knowing your worth and that you're worthy and secure and confident in the Lord. And a phrase that I remind myself almost daily, that a previous camp counselor at Camp DeSoto told me, she would have our whole cabin say it together every single morning before breakfast on the cabin porch. We would all say, I'm worthy, I'm secure, and I'm confident in the Lord. And I mean, every single morning, we would not skip a single day. And I mean, that is a phrase that I learned, let's see, when I was 12, 13, and time and time when I'm scared and don't want to do something, but that's the only thing that's holding me back, I'll remember that. And, you know, if I fail, hey, I'm worthy, I'm secure, and I'm confident in the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why we have faith, is, you know, that it makes you unafraid to do these things that God is calling us to do, because you're like, what's the worst that can happen? I could fail, but I'm still going to be loved. And, you know, I think I had to overcome, you know, now I look back, I had 7 years that I wrote, and truly it was 7 years of rejection. I wrote 3 fiction novels, never got published. I'm glad now, but it was like so many tears, so much heartache, but so much rejection that, like, failure became, I became numb to it almost.
Right.
Like, now it doesn't scare me the same way it used to, because I'm like, okay, try out for that. If you don't make it,
exactly,
no big deal. But I forget what it used to feel like, because when you've had that much failure, but, you know, when you do something artistic, there's usually a lot of rejection before doors start opening. And a lot of it's just that you want to, you know, you're not ready for it yet. Your skill level's not there. The opportunity's not there. But it does work. But, you know, you're talking about your friends loving you too. And I think about this. A mom told me last year that her son, he was our star quarterback in middle school, and, you know, kind of the stud in the class because of that. But when he went to high school, his classes were getting harder. I think another quarterback had come up and was replacing him as first string, and he was taking some difficult classes. So he decided to stop playing football. And he was worried that his friends would treat him differently because he wasn't the quarterback anymore. But it was such a, it was really neat for him. It was such a relief for him because nobody treated him differently. They still loved him and they still liked him just the same. And to him, it was like an epiphany that, wow, you know, like, they don't care. That's not why they were giving me that attention
right
in the first place. So I do think that that's just such a good testament that if you do fail, just look and see who's still there, that your real friends are going to still be there. They're not going to treat you differently.
100%.
And there's such freedom in that, that it makes you brave the next time around.
Absolutely.
Well, Frances, this has been so good. And I love that this is our first podcast for the new year. I hope that all of you listening will think of something that you can do that God might be calling you to do this year, to step out of your comfort zone, to do something that may be outside your normal wheelhouse, and just go and be brave for the Lord. But thank you so much for being on here. You're just a joy and a delight, and I wish you all the best in your future.
Thank you so much, Carrie. This has been super exciting and such an honor to speak here today.
Well, thank you. You are a big blessing.
Thank you.
Friends, thank you for tuning in today. I am so grateful to have you here. And if you enjoyed this show, please subscribe wherever you listen and leave a ratings or review so that other people can find these messages too. For links to my books, my social media, and my new community on Substack, check out the show links. Thanks again for your support, and have a great day.